بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللمسلمين والمسلمين. يقول الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في رسالته آداب المشي إلى الصلاة، ولا يقرأ في الركوع والسجود لنهيه صلى الله عليه وسلم من ذلك، ثم يرفع رأسه ويرفع يديه كرفعه الأول قائلا: إمام منفرد سمع الله لمن حمده وجوبا، ومعنى سمع استجاب. فإذا استتم قائما قال: ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات والأرض ومنها ما شئت من شيء بعد، وإن شاء زاد أحلى الثناء والمجد، أحق ما قال العبد وكلنا لك عبد، لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت، ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد، وله أن يقول غيره مما ورد، وإن شاء قال: اللهم ربنا لك الحمد بلا واو، لوروده في حديث أبي سعيد وغيره. فإن أدرك المأموم الإمام في هذا الركوع فهو مدرك للركعة، ثم يكبر ويخر ساجدا ولا يرفع يديه، فيدع ركبتيه ثم يديه ثم وجهه، ويمكن جبهته وأنفه وراحيتيه من الأرض وراحتيه من الأرض، ويكون على أطراف أصابعه رجليه موجها أطرافها إلى القبلة. والسجود على هذه الأعضاء السبعة ركن، ويستحب مباشرة المصلى ببطون كفيه، ويضم أصابعهما موجهة إلى القبلة غير مقبوضة رافعا مرفقيه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله، أرسله الله جل وعلا رحمة للعالمين فبلغ الرسالة وعد الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده صلوات الله وسلامه عليه، ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد الذين آمنوا به ونبغوا دعوته وهاجروا معه وإليه وجاهدوا معه وبعده، وسعوا في نشر هذه الملة الحنيفية في شرق الدنيا وغربها. فاللهم ارض عنهم، واجعلنا من محبيهم المقتدين بهم، واجمعنا بهم جميعا في جنات النعيم. يقول رحمة الله عليه شيخ الإسلام: ولا يقرأ، يعني المصلي، في الركوع والسجود. النبي نهى صلى الله عليه وسلم المصلي أن يقرأ القرآن في حال الركوع أو في حال السجود، لأن هذه مواضع لها الأذكار الخاصة بها. وكان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول في ركوعه: سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، اللهم اغفر لي. والتسبيح في الركوع والسجود هو كما مر، يقول في الركوع: سبحان ربي العظيم، وفي السجود يقول: سبحان ربي الأعلى. وأقل العدد أن يقول في كل ركعة تسبيحة: سبحان ربي العظيم. والأفضل ثلاث وهو كمال، أو ست أو سبع، وكل مصلي يحرص على الأوتار في أدعيته، لأن الله جل وعلا يحب الوتر وتر ويحب الوتر سبحانه وتعالى. يقول: ثم بعد ذلك، يعني المصلي إذا ركع وعد ما يمكن تسبيح فيها تسبيح، ولا حرج إلى الركعة الواحدة أن يقول سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم سبحان ربي العظيم ثلاث أو خمس أو سبع، ويضيف إليها سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اللهم اغفر لي. وكان النبي يفعل ذلك صلوات الله وسلامه على الدعاء. تقول عائشة يتأول القرآن، كيف يتأول؟ سورة إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح يسبح ويطلب المغفرة. قال ثم يرفع رأسه يعني من الركوع ويديه، وهذه السنة مؤكدة، إذا رفع رأسه من الركوع رفع كفيه بمحاذاة الكتفين أو الأصابع ترتفع عن ذلك، وهذا هو الأفضل، يرفع يديه. وهذا الموضع من المواضع التي يسن فيها للمصلي أن يرفع يديه كما مر، يقول كرفعه الأول قائلا الإمام والمنفرد سمع الله لمن حمده. الإمام اللي يؤم الناس إذا رفع قال سمع الله لمن حمده. النبي أمر المصلين معه إذا قال الإمام سمع الله لمن حمده أن يقولوا ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا ولك الحمد أو اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد، كل ذلك وارد. وقول المصلي سمع الله لمن حمده النبي أمر بذلك، والأصل في أوامر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنها للوجوب، فإن النبي قال فإذا قال الإمام سمع الله لمن حمد قولوا ربنا ولك الحمد. لكن لو لم يقول الإنسان هذا كلام صحة الصلاة، لكنها لا تكون كالصلاة التي يلتزم المصلي أن يأتي بكل ما ورد فيها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سمع الله لمن حمده وجوبا. ومعنى سمع يعني استجاب، قال سمع الله لمن حمده أي حمد الله، سمع الله جل وعلا، استجاب الله جل وعلا لمن يحمده من عباده، يعني يحمدونه صادقين مخلصين له في العبادة. فإذا استتم قائما وهو بعد قوله سمع الله ربنا ولك الحمد وقال ربنا ولك الحمد ملء السماوات، حالما يشعر بالرفع يقول ربنا ولك الحمد، ثم يتمها بقوله ملء السماوات وملء الأرض وملء ما شئت من شيء بعد، وكل ذلك ورد في الحديث الصحيح. إن زاد وهو الأفضل يقول أهل الثناء، يعني يا أهل الثناء، الله جل وعلا هو أهل الثناء الحق، أهل الثناء والمجد أحق ما قال العبد، يعني أحق ما يقوله العبد أن يثني على الله، قوله أحق ما قال العبد يعني هذا أحق ما يقوله العبد أن يمجد الله ويثني عليه. والثناء على الله جل وعلا أرفع قدرا من السؤال، السؤال أن تقول يا رب اغفر لي وارحمني وتب علي، لكن إذا قلت اللهم أنت الغفور الرحيم أنت التواب الحكيم وأنت الرزاق ذو القوة المتين أن تثني على الله جل وعلا. فالدعاء يسمى دعاء، الدعاء مسألة، وهو أن يقول العبد اللهم أعطني ارزقني اغفر لي يسر أمري، ودعاء العبادة يقول اللهم أنت الفعال لما تريد، أنت العفو الكريم، أنت الرحمن الرحيم. ولذلك لما قالت عائشة إن أنا وافيت ليلة القدر ما أقول، قال قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني، يعني بدأ بتمجيد الله أنه يعفو وأنه يحب العفو. في هذه الزيادة أحق ما قال عبد كلنا لك عبد، يعني كل ما في الوجود من جن وإنس وملائكة وغير ذلك كلها ملك لله وعبيد الله، لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد. يعني أننا جميعا ملك لله جل وعلا، عبيد له، من كل من في السماوات والأرض إلا آتي الرحمن عبدا، عبيد الله. ثم الإنسان لا يأتيه إلا ما كتبه الله له، لا مانع لما أعطيت، ما قدر الله أنه يحصل يحصل لا محالة، وما قدر الله أنه يمتنع يمتنع، ولا معطي لما منعت، ولا ينفع ذا الجد أو بفتح الجيم منك الجد. يعني الشخص المجتهد الذي له حظ كبير إذا الله لم يقدر له شيء ما حصل له، الأمر كله لله جل وعلا. ولذلك قال النبي لابن عباس: واعلم أن الناس لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك بشيء، يعني والله ما أراد نفعك به ما نفعوك به، ولو اجتمع الناس كلهم على أن يضروك بشيء والله ما أراد أن يضرك ما ضروك به، الأمر كله لله. يقول: وإن شاء قال اللهم ربنا لك الحمد، يعني هو مخير المصلي، إن أراد الله يقول أن يقول اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد يأتي بحرف الواو العاطفة يجوز، إذا لم تأتي يذكرها اللهم ربنا لك الحمد جاز، لكن كلما زادت الحروف في الكلمة كلما كان الثواب أجل وأجزل ما دام الشيء كله وارد. ثم يقول رحمة الله عليه: وله أن يقول غيره مما ورد، ليس هذا حتميا، لكن ينبغي له إذا قال ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا لك الحمد أن يأتي بما يمكنه أن يأتي به، لكن يحرص على أن يكون حسن المتابعة، لا يقف واقف ويورد هذه الأذكار والإمام سيد وصل بوجه السجود، لا، ينبغي أن يكون حسن المتابعة للإمام. يقول: فإن أدرك المأموم الإمام في هذا الركوع فهم، يعني إذا دخل المأموم والإمام راكع وتمكن الإمام أن يكبر ويركع قبل أن يرفع الإمام فإنه يكون أدرك الركعة، وإن كان لا كبر ولكن الإمام رفع فإنه يكون ما أدرك الركعة هذه. ما
أنا كرهت.
ثم يقول: ثم يكبر ويخر ساجدا، يعني بعد ما قال ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا ولك الحمد أو اللهم ربنا ولك الحمد حسب ما يتيسر له ويختار، لكن لا بد أن يطمئن في الوقوف، لأن النبي في حديث المسيء قال: لا اركع حتى تطمئن راكعا، ثم ارفع حتى تعتدل قائما. كثير من الناس للأسف، ويتوجد أيضا عند غير العرب، إذا رفع من الركوع ما يعتمد قائم بحيث يستتم استتماما تاما، لا، تجده يرفع نفسه رفعا يسيرا ثم يهوي ساجدا، هذا إذا فعل ما صح الصلاة. النبي قال في حديث الذي أساء في الصلاة وقال له ثلاث مرات: ارجع فصلي فإنك لم تصلي، فلما قال الرجل له: والذي بعثك بالحق لا أحسن غير هذا فعلمني، علمه يكبر ويدخل في الصلاة، يقرأ ما تيسر ثم يركع حتى يطمئن راكعا، ما يكون ركوعه خطف البصر. ثم يخر يكبر ويخر ساجدا، يعني يهوي نفسه للسجود. وفي هذا الحال إذا أراد أن يسجد ما يرفع يديه، لأن رفع اليدين في الصلاة عند تكبيرة الإحرام يرفع يديه هكذا، عند الركوع إذا أراد أركع رفع يديه هكذا إذا قال الله أكبر راكع، عندما يرفع يقول سمع الله لمن حمده يرفع يديه، هذه ثلاثة مواضع. إذا تشهد التشهد الأول في الصلاة الرباعية أو المغرب ونهض يرفع يديه. هذه المواطن الثلاثة ثبت في الحديث الصحيح في البخاري وغيره, حديث ابن عمر وغيره, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرفع يديه فيها. قال ولا يرفع يديه, يعني إذا أراد أن يسجد فيضع ركبتيه ثم يديه ثم وجهه. النبي قال لا يصلي, يبرك الرجل بروك البعير. كيف يبرك البعير؟ البعير إذا أراد أن يبرك بقي مؤخره مرتفعا وهام بوجهه بنحره إلى الأرض, فصار مؤخره هو المرتفع في وجه من خلفه. النبي قال لا, لا يبرك بروك البعير. إذن كيف يصنع؟ ينزل نزولا إذا لم يشق عليه, ويضع يدي كفيه على ركبتيه في حال النزول إذا لم يكن يشق عليه, لأن في بعض الأوقات يكون واحد عندما يكبر أو عندما يمرض أو عندما تتعب ركبته يصير يصعب عليه هذا الشيء. والله يقول فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. يهوي راكعا ويلقم كفيه ركبتيه, الركبتين يلقمها الكفين, ثم يسجد ويكون ذا. ثم تنزل اليدان للأرض إلى الأرض الكفان, ثم يأتي بعد ذلك الوجه على ركبتيه ثم يديه ثم وجهه, ويمكن جبهته وأنفه وراحتيه من الأرض. إذا سجد إن كان على التراب سجد على التراب, وهذا هو الذي كان عليها عامة الناس في ذلك الزمن بدون فرش إلا ما شاء الله, لكن يضع كفيه مفروشة الكفان على الأرض, وأن يضع جبينه وأنفه على الأرض, وينبغي أن يجافي العضدين عن الجنبين إذا سهل عليه ذلك كالإمام والمنفرد. أما الذي يصلي مع الناس فيراعي الناس, لا يجافي بين عضديه يؤذي من كان على جنبه, ويكون على يقول ويوجه في سجوده أطراف أصابع القدمين إلى القبلة إذا تيسر له ذلك, موجه أطرافه إلى القبلة. والسجود على هذه الأعضاء السبعة ركن, يعني أركان من أركان الصلاة, والركن إذا فقد ما صحت الصلاة. من أركان أن الصلاة أن يسجد المصلي في حال السجود على هذه الأركان السبعة, ما هي؟ الكفان والوجه, هذه ثلاثة مواضع, والركبتان هذه خمسة مواضع, وأطراف القدمين هذه سبعة أعضاء. لكن لو كان الإنسان لا يستطيع أن يسجد عليها جميعا لألم, أو كانت أصابعه مقطوعة أو غير ذلك, يفعل ما يستطيع, لأن الله يقول فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم, ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. يقول ويستحب مباشرة المصلى يعني موضع السجود اللي بيسجد عليه ببطون كفين, يعني يفرش الكفين هكذا على الأرض يسجد, أو على الفراش اللي يسجد عليه بطون الكفين, ويضم أصابعهما, لا يفرق بين الأصابع هكذا منشور, لا, وإنما يجعل الكف متلاصقة الأصابع عندما يضعها على الأرض, وضم أصابعهما موجهة إلى القبلة, لا يذهب وهو يصلي يثني أصابعه أو يقلب كفه, لا, يفرش كفه على الأرض, يوجه أطراف أصابعه إلى القبلة, أصابع اليدين, ويفرش على الأرض, ويجافي العضدين, يعني ما يلصق العض إلى البطن إذا أمكنه ذلك, أما إذا كانت زحام لا يستطيع أن يفعل فهو مأمور بأن يفعل ما يستطيع. أسأل الله جل وعلا أن يوفقنا جميعا لإحسان أداء هذه العبادة وأن نؤديها بأدب ورغبة وحياء من الله جل وعلا وخوف منه، وأن نكون في أدائها حريصين على استكمال شروطها وأركانها وبقدر المستطاع إكمال سننها. كما أسأل جل وعلا أن تكون حجة لنا في حياتنا وبعد مماتنا، وأن تكون من أسباب فوزنا برضوان ربنا جل وعلا، إنه مجيب الدعاء.
الشيخ حفيظ الله تعالى began by praising Allah Azza wa Jal and seeking forgiveness in Him and seeking refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves, and bearing witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. To Him is the dominion. All praise belongs to Him, and He is able to do all things. We bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His slave and messenger. He gave the message, He fulfilled the trust, and He was sincere for the Ummah, and He fought in the way of Allah. And may Allah be pleased with the companions, those who believed in Him, and migrated with Him, and migrated to Him, and fought during His time and after His time until the religion was spread in all parts of the world, in the East and in the West. May Allah be pleased with them and make us from amongst those who truly love them and follow them. The author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Rahim, Allah Ta'ala, mentioned in this treatise that the individual who is bowing and prostrating in the prayer, the individual should not recite the Qur'an, because there was a prohibition by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered that the individual who is praying, that person does not recite the Qur'an while he is bowing nor prostrating, because there is specific supplication that the person should say during this particular time, during this position. In the prayer, the person should say that which is legislated and taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the ruku' subhana rabbil azim, and in the sujood subhana rabbil a'la. And he said, he reiterated, like he mentioned last week, that the least amount that a person should say in this time in the ruku' is one time. Subhana Rabbil Azeem, they can say one time. That's the least amount. And that which is more preferred is that they say it three times, or six, or seven. An odd number, he said three times or six times. He said three times or seven times. An odd number, the person should say it. And they should be diligent in saying it an odd number of times, because Allah Azza wa Jal loves the odd numbers. Then after that, and the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the ruku' and in the sujood, the person can also add, Oh Allah, forgive me, Allahumma gfirli. The person can also add seeking forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal, because it was mentioned by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek forgiveness from Allah in these positions. Because Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in Surah An-Nasr, if the assistance of Allah comes and the people enter into the fold of Islam in droves or in waves, then make tasbih of your Lord and seek His forgiveness. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in ruku' or sujood, he used to make tasbih, and then he used to make istighfar. So he was implementing that which Allah mentioned in Surah An-Nasr. Then the individual, the author mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the individual rises up from the bowing, from the ruku', and he raises his hand at the same time, like he raised it when he went into ruku'. So he raises his hand, and the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah ta'ala, he raises them, like we mentioned previously, His palms should be facing the Qibla. His hands can be raised to his shoulders, or they can be raised close to the bottom of his ears, as we have mentioned previously. And this is one of the times that it is the sunnah to raise the hands during the prayer. Then the imam and the person who is praying alone, they would say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Verily Allah hears the one who praises him. The imam and the one who is praying alone. So the Shaykh mentioned that the Prophet ordered the person, when they come up from the bowing position, that they say, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and this is for the imam or the one who is praying alone. And then the imam and the one who is praying alone and the one who is being led, they would say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd, O our Lord, to you belongs the praise. Or Rabbana wa lakal hamd, they would say with a wow, O our Lord, and to you belongs the praise. All of this has been ordered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah ta'ala, that the origin of the orders of the Prophet ﷺ is that they inform that it is obligatory. They inform that it is obligatory. So the imam, he would say, the imam and the one who is praying alone, they would say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allah hears the one who praises him. But the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but if the person does not say, the one who is being led in the prayer, if they don't say this, the salat is still accepted. The salat is still accepted, but it is not as complete as the one who says it. It is not as complete as the one who says it. The statement, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allah hears the one who praises him, this means that Allah answers the one who calls him. This means that Allah answers the one who calls him. So when you say Allah hears the one who praises him, the meaning of this is that Allah answers the one who praises him. So the individuals from amongst the sincere worshippers of Allah, in their worship, Allah would answer their praise. Allah would answer their call. Then the person would say, once he stands up straight, the individual would say, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, O our Lord, to you belongs the praise. That which fills the heavens and that which fills the earth and that which fills that which is in between. So this is the supplication that the individual would say at this time. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that there is something that you can add to that. That Allah is the one that deserves the praise and the glorification. And the most correct thing that a person has said, this is the most correct thing or deserving thing that a person has said, meaning they have praised Allah and they have glorified Allah Azza wa Jal, and all of us are the servants to Allah Azza wa Jal, to the end of that supplication. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, no, it is better that you add, yani it is not, or it is better that once you say, Rabbana wa laka alhamd, it is better that you say, all praise belongs to Allah, that which is in the heavens and that which is in the earth and that which is between, and then you add, Allah is the all deserving of praise and glorification, to the end of that supplication. The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, now you should add this, because the more letters which are in the supplication, the better it is, as long as it is authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the praise of Allah, the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the praise of Allah is better than seeking from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The praise of Allah is better than seeking from Allah. So when the person, for example, says, Oh Allah, forgive me, this is seeking something from Allah. But when the person begins by saying, Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving, Oh Allah, you are the most merciful, and then they make a supplication, this is better. So to praise Allah Azza wa Jal before the supplication is better than merely supplicating without praise. It's better than merely supplicating without praise. Because you have two types of calling on Allah. One calling on Allah, or one type of calling on Allah, is to praise Him and then to supplicate. And the other is to merely supplicate. Both of them are considered calling on Allah. But that which is better is that a person begins by praising Allah Azza wa Jalla. One of the proofs for that is the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha when she said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I meet Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, you should say, Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Aisha to praise Allah and then to seek His forgiveness by saying, O Allah, verily You are the pardoner. You love to pardon, so pardon us. O Allah, verily You are the pardoner. You love to pardon, so pardon us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that supplication that he taught Aisha radhiyallahu anha, he taught her to glorify Allah and then to seek something from Allah azza wa jalla. And when you say everything which is in the heavens and everything which is in the earth, مِلْءَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمِلْءَ مَا شِئْتَ مِنْ شَيْءٍ بَعْدٍ, everything in the heavens and everything in the earth, the Shaykh is saying, Habib Allah Ta'ala, he said, all of this you are announcing and you are proclaiming that everything belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla. You are announcing your belief that everything which is in the heavens and everything in the earth belongs to Allah. From the ints, from the humans and from the jinn and from the malaika, everything which is in the heavens and everything in the earth, they are slaves and servants to Allah the Most High. Then, لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتَ, there is no one who can prevent that which you have given, and there is no one to give that which you have prevented. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, there is no benefit, no one can benefit you except that Allah Azza wa Jalla had decreed that benefit. And no one can prevent except that Allah Azza wa Jalla has decreed that. Everyone falls under the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And he mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala that if a person had status, if an individual had major status and the likes, and Allah Azza wa Jalla decreed that that individual could not accomplish something, he would not be able to accomplish it no matter what degree of status he had. And likewise, if an individual did not have a major amount of status and fame, but Allah decreed that this individual would gain something, he would be able to gain it no matter what the odds were against him. And because of that, you had it mentioned in the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, know that if all of the humans and all of the jinn were to come together to benefit you, they would not be able to benefit you except that Allah had decreed that you were benefited. And if all of the humans and all of the jinn were to come together to harm you, they would not be able to harm you except that Allah decreed that you were harmed. So this informs the servants that the affair is with Allah Azza wa Jalla, and they have to submit to that. And then the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala reiterated, so these supplications that are said when the person rises up from the ruku', all of them are legislated. So the more that a person does, it is better. The more that a person does, it is better, as long as they are in accordance with the Sunnah. As long as they are in accordance with the Sunnah. Then the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that but it's important when a person rises from the ruku' that they don't take a long time to say these supplications, so much so that all of the people that are praying, they are down in sujood, and the imam is in sujood, and the person is still upstanding saying these supplications. This shouldn't be the case. This should not be the case. The person should try to say these supplications, but at the same time, if the imam goes into a position, the person should follow the imam in that position. They shouldn't stand up and delay for a long period of time. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that if the person is trying to reach the congregation and they have reached the congregation while the imam is still in the bowing position before he has raised up from the bowing position, then the person has caught that unit of prayer. Then the person has caught that unit of prayer. But the Shaykh said, but if the imam, if the person who is trying to catch the congregation has not reached or has not bowed before the imam has lifted, meaning as soon as he was about to bow, the imam has already lifted or rised from that position, then you have not caught that unit of prayer. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, goes on to mention after the person has risen up from the bowing position, then they go into sujood. They go into prostration. And he says all of this, or this issue of going into prostration, takes place after you have said the legislated supplications. Naam. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, but it's important that you remember that in that, in coming up from the bowing position, that you should come up and relax. You should rise up and relax. You shouldn't come up from the bowing position and immediately go into the prostration. You shouldn't come up from the ruku' and immediately go into the sujood. He said, you have many people, and usually you have, he mentioned that usually you have these from other than the Arab. You have many people that, or you have some Muslims in different parts of the world, when they come up from the ruku', they don't straighten their backs, they don't relax, and immediately they go into sajda. And he said, this is not accepted. This is not accepted, and that unit of prayer is not accepted. And the proof for that is that you had the individual that prayed correctly, prayed incorrectly, in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he did this. The individual, when he would come up from the ruku', he would not rise up straight, he would not relax, and he would immediately go into sujood. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Or what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to that individual? Irja, fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and pray, for verily you have not prayed yet, you have not completed your prayer. And this happened three times, until the last time, the individual said, I swear by the one who has sent you with the truth, I know none other than this. I don't know the correct way to pray. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him the correct way to pray, and he said, go into the bowing position until you are relaxed, and then rise up from that position until you have completely risen up from that position, and then go into the sajda. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught him how to pray correctly, but each time he prayed incorrectly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, return and pray, for verily you have not prayed yet. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that when you make takbir, once you've risen up from the ruku', and now you're going into the sujood, you're going into the sajda, and you make takbir, you do not raise your hands in this position. This is one of the positions that you do not raise your hands. Meaning, and the Shaykh said, the raising of the hands, as he mentioned previously, is in three positions, and then there's a fourth. The first is at the beginning of the prayer. During the commencing of the prayer, the takbiratul ihram, you raise your hands. And then when you go into sajda, afwan, when you go into ruku', you raise your hands. And then immediately when you rise up from ruku', you raise your hands. But when you go down into sajda, you don't raise your hands. You do not raise your hands. When you rose from the ruku', you did raise your hands. But when you're going down into sajda, you don't raise your hands. Then the fourth time that you raise your hands is after the first tashahhud. If you're praying a prayer that has three units of prayer or four units of prayer, after the first tashahhud and you stand up again, then you do raise your hands. As it's been authentically reported in Sahih Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Umar, that the Prophet ﷺ would raise his hands at these three, and then the fourth position, yani the takbiratul ihram, yani the beginning of the prayer, and then going into ruku', then immediately when you come up from the ruku', and then after the first tashahhud when you're standing to complete the third unit or the fourth unit of the prayer. Then the Shaykh, then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that the person, when they go down into sajda, when the individual is kneeling or going down into sajda, that the individual places his knees first. The individual places his knees first. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned the proof for that is the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he said, when a person goes down into sajda, they should not go down like, they should not imitate the camel. They should not imitate the kneeling of the camel. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala said, the camel goes down on its front knees first, and its back is raised in the air. Its back is raised in the air. So this is what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam intended when he said that a person should not go down like the going down of the camel by leaving your back in the air. So what you should do is, you should first go down on your knees, as the author mentioned, and then your hands, and then your face. The Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala said, but if this is difficult for you, because sometimes it might be difficult for an individual because of his old age or because of sickness, it's difficult for a person to go down on his knees first, then it is accepted that you go down on your hands first. Then it is accepted that you go down on your hands first, because Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, fear Allah to the best of your ability. So the person will go down on his knees first, and then his hands, and then his face, even if he's praying on dust or sand. Because during the time of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that was the case. Most of the people were praying on sand. So the people, they would place their knees down, and then they would put their hands, and then they would put their face down on the ground. So they put their hands, their palms on the ground, and they shouldn't separate their fingers, they should keep them together. Their fingertips should be facing toward the Qibla. And then they put their nose and their forehead on the ground. And the person, Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala mentioned that the person should not, they should not place their elbows on the ground, they should not place their stomach on the ground, and the likes. And he mentioned that the person, the elbows of the individual, when they're in the sujood, the elbows should be spread if you're the imam and if you're praying alone. But if you're praying in congregation and there are people to the left and to the right, you shouldn't harm those people by spreading your elbows too wide. And he mentioned, also mentioned that the toes should also be facing the Qibla. And the Shaykh Habib Allah Ta'ala said, if it's not too difficult, the toes should also be facing the Qibla when you're down in sajda. So your toes should be bent facing the Qibla, your hands likewise should be facing the Qibla. And going down or prostrating on these seven parts of the body is obligatory. It's a pillar of the prayer. Prostration on these seven parts of the body, it's a pillar of the prayer. And the pillars of the prayer, the arkan of salat, if they are not present, then the prayer is not accepted. Then the prayer is void. And these seven parts of the body are the two palms, and the face, and the two knees, and the two feet. So the two palms, the face, and part of the face is the forehead, and the two knees, and the two feet. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the person should do this to the best of their ability. If a person, for example, does his fingers are cut off, then obviously the person cannot place his hands on the ground. He cannot place his fingers on the ground if his hand is cut off or if his finger is cut off. So the person should fear Allah to the best of their ability. As Allah mentioned, fear Allah to the best of your ability. And the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that which I have ordered you, then complete it to the best of your ability. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned that it is recommended that the individual presses his palms on the ground. It is highly recommended that the individual presses his palms on the ground. And the Shaykh mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, na'am, and his fingers should not be spread, but he should keep his fingers together, and they should also be facing the Qibla. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, so we asked Allah Azza wa Jal, because we finished that explanation at that point, so he said we asked Allah Azza wa Jal to give us the tawfiq to complete this form of worship in the best of manners, and we asked Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to complete this worship with good manners and seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, And we should do so. We should embark on this act of worship with shyness for Allah and fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And we should try to be diligent in completing its conditions and its pillars. And we should try to be diligent in fulfilling that which is the sunnah of the prayer. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make the prayer a proof for us, not a proof against us. And that it is a proof for us in this life and after our death. And it is one of the means of us entering the paradise of Allah Azza wa Jal. يقول السائل أحسن الله إليك في الدرس الماضي ذكر المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى بأن الإمام أحمد كره القراءات أو بعض القراءات في الصلاة إذا لم يكن يعرفها الناس يعني قراءة غريبة على الناس فهل يقاس على ذلك ترك بعض الأمور من السنة التي تكون غريبة على الناس؟
بعض الناس يكون حافظ القرآن لبعض القراءات السبع أو العشر لكن ينبغي لمن كان إماما أن يقرأ على الناس وفق ما كانوا يقرؤون لأن الذي لا يعرف أن هذه قراءة يستنكر ويرى أن هذا عبث بالقرآن ينبغي للإمام أن يراعي أحوال المأمومين كذلك أحوال المأمومين أيضا في إطالة الصلاة النبي قال إذا أما أحدكم الناس فليخفف فإن فيهم الكبير والمريض ولا الحاجة فالإمام يحتاج إلى أن يكون جيد الملاحظة للمأمومين بحيث لا ينفرهم ولا يشق عليهم ولذلك النبي لما حصل ما حصل من معاذ والرجل الذي انفرد قال لمعاذ اقرأ بسورة كذا بسورة كذا وأرشده إلى سورة السبح وسورتين قريبة منها أما إذا كانت الجماعة جماعة المسجد يرغبون الإطالة ولا فيهم أحد يخشى أن يشق عليه ذلك فلا حرج.
أحسن عليك. The individuals asking in the previous lesson, the author mentioned that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he disliked
Ahmad kareh qira'at al-Kisa'i wal Jama'a li'anna qira'atuhu wa laysat qira'at Hafs wal akharin li ahli qira'at as-sab'a lakin law qara'a al-insan fi mithl hadhihi al-qira'at allati takunu min al-'ashr al-ma'rufa fas-salat sahiha إلا أنه ينبغي أن يلاحظ الناس الذي يقول حدث الناس بما يعرفون أتريدون أن يكذب الله ورسوله
The أحسن الله إليك The individual asked in the previous lesson it was mentioned that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala he disliked for the person to recite the
Hamza wa Kisa'i
Hamza wa Kisa'i which were recitations or styles of recitations which were foreign to the people. And the person said, can we say this is similar to abandoning certain affairs of the sunnah which are strange upon the people? And the Shaykh Habibullah mentioned that some people they had memorized the Quran with different types of recitation, whether the 7 or the 10. But what is befitting and incumbent upon the Imam is that he does not run the people away. He tries to, he does not do something in the prayer which is foreign to the people. Because if he does so, then the people would think that this is incorrect. They would think that the prayer was incorrect. So he said it's important, and they would think that maybe he's joking or playing around with the act of worship. So the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, so it's important that the one who is the imam, that he pays close attention to the affairs of the affairs of those who are praying behind him, those who are in the congregation. And similar to that is the lengthening of the prayer. He should not elongate the prayer so much so that it causes harm to the people. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Verily, behind you is a person of old age, or one who is sick, or a person who has a need." So the imam, it's very important that he pays attention to, or he's conscious of those who are praying behind him. He should not run them away, nor should he burden them. This took place with Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, that he had elongated the prayer, and a man went and prayed independently from Mu'adh. So the Prophet ﷺ, when this took place, the Prophet ﷺ instructed Mu'adh to recite shorter surahs, Subbih Isma Rabbika al-A'la, and surahs with shorter verses, to not cause a difficulty upon the man. Then the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala mentioned that there are different types of recitation, Kisa'i and Hamza. These are not like the recitations of Hafs and others. And if a person does recite with these types of recitations, the salat is accepted, but the person, the one who is leading the prayer, he should pay close attention to those who are praying behind him. يقول السائل السلام عليك في ركعتين الأخيرتين من الصلاة هل الأفضل للمصلي أن يكمل قراءته للفاتحة بنفسه أو هل الأحسن أن للمصلي أن يتابع الإمام ولو قرأ الفاتحة بسرعة
بل ينبغي أن يحرص المأموم على قراءة الفاتحة فإن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ فاتحة الكتاب وقال أيما صلاة لم يقرأ فيها بفاتحة الكتاب فهي حداج يعني ناقصة ولولا هذا الحديث كان تكون باطلة لكن قلنا النبي إنها ناقصة يعني ما لم تفسد فينبغي للإنسان النبي قال للصحابة لعلكم تقرؤون خلف إمامكم هو يدعو لهم بأن يقرأوا وإنما يستفهم منهم قالوا نعم إنا لا نفعل ذلك قال إني أقول ما لي أنازع القرآن لا تقرأوا إلا بأم الكتاب فينبغي للمصلي أن يتصور هذا الأمر الله يقول قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبدي نصفين ولعبدي ما سأل ثم ذكر الله جل وعلا أن الفاتحة هي الصلاة إذا قال العبد الحمد لله قال الله حمدني عبدي إذا قال الرحمن الرحيم قال أثنى علي عبدي فكأن الفاتحة هي الصلاة ينبغي أن يحرص الله إذا كان الإمام يترك سكتة بعد قراءته ليقرأ المأموم فيها الفاتحة فعل وإذا كان لا يترك شيئا فليبادر بأن يقرأ ولو مع الإمام لكن بصوت لا يشوش على من بجانبه.
Individuals asking in the second two units of the prayer, is it better that the person completes Surah Al-Fatiha himself or should he follow the Imam even if the Imam recites Surah Al-Fatiha quickly? The Shaykh mentioned, it's befitting that the individual who is praying in congregation that he completes the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha. This is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is no prayer for the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said any prayer that does not have Surah Al-Fatiha it is khudaj, which means it is deficient. So the Shaykh Habibullah sallam mentioned that, so it doesn't mean the prayer is it means that the prayer is accepted, but it is deficient. It is less in reward. And the Shaykh Habibullah ta'ala mentioned the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said to his companions, "Do you recite behind the imam?" And they said, "We do." He is inquiring from them, "Do they recite behind the imam?" And they said, "We do." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Why am I being competed in the Quran? Do not do so. Why am I being competed with regards to recitation of the Quran? Do not do so except with the mother of the book." So the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, so the person should keep this in mind. Likewise, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith of Qudsi, where Allah azza wa jalla said, "I have divided the prayer between me, two portions between me and my servant. If my servant says, all praise be to Allah, Allah says, my servant has praised me." To the end, and then Allah ta'ala mentioned the portion, the hadith, the portion which is for the servant. So we understand from this hadith, it is as if Surah Al-Fatiha is the prayer itself. So the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, so if the imam leaves gaps in between his recitation, after his recitation of Al-Fatiha, he leaves a gap before he recites the following surah, the person should recite Surah Al-Fatiha at this time. But if the imam does not leave a gap after his recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, and before he begins another surah, then the person can recite Surah Al-Fatiha even while the imam is reciting. يقول الشخص يقول سعد السماء إليك إذا دخل المصلي على رجل وذلك الرجل يصلي فصار إماما ولكن بعد فراغه من الصلاة أعلم بأنه كان يصلي صلاة النافلة فماذا على المصلي؟
إذا دخل إنسان مع آخر وكان السابق الذي اتخذ إماما متنفلا فإن الصلاة تكون صحيحة، إلا أنه ينبغي للواحد قبل أن يدخل مع أحد أن يتأكد هل كان يصلي فريضة أو نافلة. لكن لو فعل وصلى مع المتنفل أدى الفريضة معه فالصلاة صحيحة.
The individual is asking if a person enters into the masjid and they join another individual who is already praying, and they join them to complete the obligatory prayer. And then after they complete the prayer, the person who was praying first, who was the imam, they inform that he was praying supererogatory prayer. What is upon the individual? The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah ta'ala, if a person joins another individual who was praying, and that individual who is the imam is praying the supererogatory prayer, the other person's prayer is still accepted. But it's befitting that if an individual, or it's befitting that if a person wants to join someone in prayer, that they should know before whether this person is praying the obligatory prayer or the supererogatory prayer. But if they don't and they join the prayer, it is still accepted from them. يقول السائل أحسن الله إليك هل من السنة إعادة ما يقول الإمام بعد قيامه من الركوع حيث قال سمع الله لمن حمده، يعني هل المأموم يقول هذا القول؟
لا، المأموم يقول ربنا لك الحمد أو ربنا ولك الحمد، وإنما الذي يقول سمع الله لمن حمده الإمام والمنفرد. لكن لو فرض أن المأموم قال سمع الله لمن حمده صحة الصلاة لكن يكون خالف السنة فيها فقط.
Individuals asking, is it from the sunnah that the one who is being led in prayer that he repeats the statement of the imam when rising from the ruku', Allah hears the one who praises him. The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, no. That which is upon the one who is being led in prayer to say when they rise from the ruku' is Rabbana wa lakal hamd or Rabbana lakal hamd. As for the statement Sami Allahu liman hamida, this is said by the imam and the one who is praying alone. But if it took place that the ma'mum, the one who is being led in prayer, said Sami Allahu liman hamida and the rest, the salah is accepted, but he did something which is in opposition to the sunnah. أحسن إليك يقول السائل هل يجوز للمصلي أن يصلي صلاة الوتر ركعة واحدة؟
يجوز، إلا أن الأولى والأفضل أن لا يكتفي بواحدة، أن يصلي ثلاثا أو خمسا أو سبعا أو تسعا أو إحدى عشرة أو أكثر من ذلك، لكن تكون آخرها ركعة واحدة. ولو سرد تهجده كله تسع ركعات واستمر حتى الركعة التاسعة صحت الصلاة، إلا أن الأفضل في مثل هذه الحال إذا كمل الثمان الركعات أن يجلس للتشهد، فإذا تشهد قام من التشهد ليأتي بالركعة التاسعة، وقد فعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك بعض المرات.
Individuals asking, is it permissible to pray Salat al-Witr with one unit of prayer? The Shaykh mentioned to Allah Ta'ala that it's permissible, but that which is preferred, that which is better and more preferred, that which is better and more preferred is that the person does not suffice with one unit of prayer. What's better is that the person does 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13 or more. And they should make, but what's important is that the last unit should be one. For example, if a person did 9 units of prayer straight without any tashahhud, and then the last, if the person performed 9 units of prayer without any tashahhud until the last, the salat is accepted. But what is better is that the person does 8, for example, if they want to do 9, it's better if the person does 8 and then they sit for 1 tashahhud. And once they complete that, they stand up and they perform witr 1. So they prayed 8 units of prayer straight without any tashahhud except the last. And then once they finish that tashahhud, they stand up and they complete 1 unit of prayer, because this was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sometimes. أحسن الله إليك يقول السائل أحيانا المأمون المأمومون لا يسمعون قول الإمام سمي الله لمن حمده، فهل يجوز لأحد المأمومين أن يقول بصوت عالي سمي الله لمن حمده؟
إذا كان الإمام لا يرفع الصوت أو ليس له صوتا جيدا والمصلون كثيرون، فإنه لا مانع أن يبلغ واحد من المأمومين انتقالات الإمام. إذا كبر يرفع صوته بالتكبير هو، وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده الإمام قال هو ربنا لك الحمد، وهكذا يفعل في تنقلات المصلين من وضع إلى وضع.
The individual is asking if the people who are praying in the congregation cannot hear the imam when he says Sami Allahu liman hamida, can one of them say it and raise his voice so that the others can hear? The Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala, if the imam does not raise his voice or if he does not have a strong loud voice and the congregation is large, then there's no problem with one of them raising his voice to inform the others of the movement of the imam. So when the imam makes takbir, he says loud takbir. If the imam says Sami Allahu liman hamida, he says loud Rabbana wa lakal hamd. So there's no problem in the person informing and raising his voice, so that others know that the imam has moved. يقول السائل أحسن إليك إذا أسرع الإمام في صلاته إلى درجة أن المأمومين لا يشعرون بطمأنينة في الصلاة فهل يجوز لهم أن يبعدوا أن يعيدوا صلاتهم إذا كان الأمر كذلك؟
إذا ارتبكوا في أداء الصلاة ولم يستطيعوا متابعة الإمام من إسراعه جاز لهم أن يعدل عن متابعته ويعدون الصلاة بإمامة أحدهم. والواجب على أي إمام أن يراعي حال المأمومين في الركعات في الركعتين اللي لا يجهر بالقراءة ينبغي أن يتأنى، لأن بعض الناس إذا قرأ بصوت يسمع صار يقف عند كل آية، وإذا صار يقرأ بسره ربما سرد الفاتحة في نفس واحد فيرتكب يرتذك المأمومون. يجب على الإمام أن يراعي حال المأمومين بصفة مستمرة.
Individuals asking if the imam quickly prays to the extent that the people who are praying behind him, they do not feel relaxation in the prayer. Is it permissible for them to pray or repeat the prayer? The Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, if the person does not have the ability to follow the imam, if those who are praying in congregation do not have the ability to follow the imam, what they would do is one of them would become the imam and the people they follow him instead. They would follow him instead because that imam, that individual is praying too fast and the people do not have the ability to follow him. He said what is obligatory is that the imam has concern for the people that are praying behind him. He considers them. He said, for example, you have some people, some imams, when they are praying the prayer that can be heard, they take their time. They recite in a way that the people can follow. But when they are praying Dhuhr or Asr, where they cannot be heard, they say it very quickly. Surah Al-Fatiha, they say in one breath. So the Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala said it is mandatory, it is always mandatory upon the Imam to have concern and consideration for those who are praying behind him. يقول السائل أحسن الله إليك إذا كان ثوب الإمام شفافا ويصف البشرة فماذا الحكم؟ فما الحكم؟
إذا كان الثوب شفافا خفيفا ولكن الإمام عليه السراويل ساترة من السرة إلى ما تحت الركبة الصلاة صحيحة، وأما إذا كان لا شيء خفيف ويكاد أن يرى العورة فيختار إمام غيره.
The individual is asking if the imam is wearing his clothing is see-through and it shows his skin, is this acceptable or what is the ruling? And the Shaykh mentioned Abu Bakr Ta'ala, if his clothing, if the thobe that he's wearing is see-through and the material is light, but under that he's wearing pants or shorts which cover from his navel to his knees, then this is accepted, and this is accepted and the salat is corrected. But if his thobe is see-through and he's not wearing the pants underneath so his awra, his privates can be seen, then this individual should not be selected as the imam to lead the people. هذا يسأل أحسن عليك عن استخدام التأمين الصحي التي الذي يوزعه الشركات على الموظفين. يسأل عن جواز استعمال التأمين الصحي، البطاقات الصحية.
إذا كان الإنسان غير مخير ما يمكن أن يقوم بهذا العمل إلا تضع له الشركة تأمينا، فلا إثم عليه هو، لأن الإثم على من يخالف في ذلك، فلا حرج عليه.
The individual is asking the permissibility or the ruling when using the insurance cards of the treatment of the batala. If the person is forced and he has no choice except to, in order to get the treatment, that he has to use this insurance card, then there is no sin upon him. The sin is upon the people who have disobeyed. So there's no problem in him using the card. يقول السائل أحسن إليك كيف نربي الأطفال على الخشوع في الصلاة؟
يؤمرون من اصطحب معه طفلا للمسجد يصلي يوجهه من الأساس أن يكون مؤدبا مقلا الحركة، ينظر إلى موضع سجوده في صلاته.
Sorry, the individual is asking how do we raise our children to have khushu and focus in the prayer. The Sheikh said, Habib al-Atal, you order them to. If a person brings a child along with him, a young child along with him to the prayer, he should, from the beginning, from the foundation, he should teach him manners. He should teach him to have manners, he should teach him not to move a lot. He should teach him to look and concentrate on the place of prostration. يقول السائل أحسن الله عليك، استقرضت أو أخذت قرض من أمي ثم توفت، فماذا أفعل بهذا الدين؟
إذا لم يكن لأمك وارث سواك فقد ورثته، وأما إذا كان هناك ورثة لأمك أنت وغيرك فأعطي كل واحد منهم نصيبه من ذلك القرض، فانظر من هم الورثة وما نصيب كل واحد، أعطي كل واحد نصيبه، وإن عفوا عنك وأخبرتهم وسمحوا فلا حرج.
Individuals asking, I took a loan from my mother and then she passed away. What should I do with this debt? And the Sheikh mentioned Habib al-Atal, if there is no one to inherit from your mother except you, then you have inherited the debt, meaning it's yours. But if she has other family members that inherit from her, then you should look for those individuals and you should give them their portion of the inheritance. You should give them the importance of their portion of the inheritance. But if they pardon you, if they inform you that they don't want it, then there's no problem in you keeping it. يقول السائل أحسن الله إليك، في أثناء السفر من يستحق أن يكون إماما أو الإمارة له في السفر؟
أعرف الجماعة الذين يسافرون أعرفهم لأداء الصلاة، أحسنهم قراءة وأضبطهم للقراءة، وأحسنهم رفقا بزملائه يكون إماما لهم. وأما مسألة الإمارة في الطريق حسن، لكن إذا نزلوا أي قرية تنتهي إمارة الأمير، أمره الإمارة لأهل القرية. فإذا خرجوا الخلاء البرية صار زميلهم بمنزلة الراعي للرعية وأميرها.
Individuals asking during a journey who should be or who's more deserving of being the leader. The Sheikh mentioned Habib al-Atala, the one who has, in terms of the imam of the prayer or leading the prayer, the one who knows the correct manner of praying the most, and the one who has the best and the most accurate form, the most accurate recitation, and the one who is gentlest to the companions, he should be the imam. Likewise, if this group of individuals, if they go to a village, if they go to a city, then it's not one of them that would be the leader, but the governor of the city would be the leader. But if they leave that city and they go to the desert and the likes, one of them, as you mentioned the imam previously, one of them would become the leader. And this is obviously, he mentioned that it's incumbent upon the person that becomes the leader to have a concern and care for those under his leadership. يقول السائل أحسن الله إليك هل تنصح بحفظ المتون مع حفظ القرآن أو الأفضل أن يحفظ الطالب القرآن كاملا ثم يبدأ بالمتون؟
لا شك أن حفظ القرآن إذا أمكن لا يماثله شيء، فإن أفضل الكلام على الإطلاق كلام الله جل وعلا في القرآن الكريم. لكن الواحد محتاج لمتون تكون مشتملة على كيفية الصلاة، كيفية الوضوء، كيفية التعامل في هذه العبادات. يحرص على أن يحفظ من المتون ما يحسن معه أداء تلك العبادات.
Individuals asking, the student of knowledge, should he begin or should he memorize the mutun, the smaller mutuns, and the Quran, or should he begin with the Quran? The Sheikh Habib al-Atala said, there's no doubt, there's nothing which can be compared to the memorization of the Quran. It is the best of the speech. It is the best of speech. But indeed, a person should memorize some mutun, especially that which is related to how to pray and how to make wudu. So the individual should also focus on memorizing the mutun that inform of the performance of the acts of worship.
أولا نحمد الله جل وعلا على ما حصل منا جميعا في هذا اللقاء، ونسأل الله بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعل أعمالنا كلها خالصة لوجهه، موافقة لسنة نبيه، مخلصين له جل وعلا في أدائها، كما أسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفعنا بما علمنا وأعطانا وما قدرنا على أدائه من الأعمال، ينفعنا بها في دنيانا وفي آخرتنا يوم العرض والجزاء، كما سأله سبحانه أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين وأن يحصون الأمة الإسلامية المتمسكة بكتاب ربها جل وعلا وسنة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، الحريصين على مشابهة الصحابة في أعمالهم، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الفرقة الناجية، قال من كان على مثل ما أنا عليه وأصحابي. كما أسأله أن يفرج بمنه وكرمه كرب المكروبين في الشام والعراق ومصر واليمن والبحرين وليبيا وبقية البلاد الإسلامية شرق آسيا وغير ذلك، كل مكان فيه ضيق ومضايقات ومشاكل على المسلمين، أن الله يكشف ضرهم عاجل غير عاجل. كما أسأله جل وعلا أن يعاجل أهل الشام بالفرج وأن يذل الرافضة الذين يتدخلون لنصر النصيري أن يرينا فيهم المذلة في العاجلة، فإن إيران تمد الأسد ومن معه والحزب النجس الذي في لبنان الذي يسمى حزب الله وهو حزب الشيطان أيضا، نسأل الله أن يرينا فيهم جميعا عجائب قدرته وأن يجيرنا جميعا وبلادنا جميعا من هذه الشرور، كما نسأله سبحانه وتعالى أو أن يوفق أهل اليمن للخروج مما دفعهم إليه رافضتهم المسمون بالحوثيين والذين تمدهم إيران وروسيا الدولة الملحدة تسعى جاهدة لإذلال المسلمين في كل مكان، فإنها كما هو معروف أيما سيطرت شيوعيتها كانت قاصدة محو الإسلام من جميع ما دخل في سلطانها، ثم لن يشأ الله ذلك ولكن لا يزالون في شر، فنسأل الله أن يرينا في دولة روسيا وجميع الدول القادرة على رفع الظلم على المسلمين أن يرينا فيهم المذلات المتتابعة، كما أسأله لهذه البلاد المملكة العربية السعودية أن يحفظها الله جل وعلا ويحفظ عليها أمنها على دينها ودنياها، وأن يوفق ولي الأمر ومن يعينه ويتعاون معه على المحافظة على أخلاق الأمة وصيانة عقيدتها وشد أزر الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر، وأن يجعلنا في كل ذلك من حسن إلى أحسن، إنه جل وعلا مجيب الدعاء. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
الشيخ حفيظ الله تعالى reciprocated by asking Allah Azza wa Jal to make that which took place in this gathering beneficial for us, and asked Allah with His names and attributes to make us to make our deeds and actions sincere for the face of Allah Azza wa Jal in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us with that which He has given us, and to allow this benefit to be in this life and the next, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give might and glory to Islam and to debase disbelief and the disbelievers, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect the Islam and those who are abiding by the book and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us diligence in imitating the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked about the same sect, and he said, those who are upon what I am upon and my companions. And then he said, supplicate by asking Allah Azza wa Jal to give ease and comfort to the people of Syria, the Muslims of Syria, the Muslims of Iraq, Egypt, Yemen, Bahrain, Libya, and other Muslim lands, every place that has turmoil and difficulty. Ask Allah to remove the problems in those particular places, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal to debase the Rafida, those who are supporting the government in Syria. We mentioned Iran. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal to debase them. And for verily, you mentioned that Iran is supporting Assad, the previous president of Syria. And likewise, they're being supported by Hezbollah. They call themselves Hezbollah. They're in Lebanon, but they're Hezb al-Shaytan. They are the party of the Shaytan. So we ask Allah to show His might by destroying them, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jal to give the people of Yemen the ability to have rectification in this conflict with those who are oppressing them from amongst the Houthiyun. And verily, the Houthiyun are once again being supported by Iran and Russia. Then he mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, that we ask Allah to debase them and every country that has the ability to stop this oppression, but they're doing nothing to stop it. And then he supplicated that Allah protects Saudi Arabia, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, protects their safety and their security, and allows the ruler and those who are supporting him and assisting him, allows them to protect the Islamic aqidah and the Islamic character, and to spread the joining of the good and forbidding the evil. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow us to become better as time goes on. For verily Allah is the one to answer the supplication, and our last supplication is all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may the peace and blessings be Allah be upon, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family members and companions.